Psalm 101 this morning. Psalm 101. Psalm 101. All righty. Psalm 101. It says, the Bible says in Psalm 101, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, the good old AV 1611 King James Bible. Father, we just pray that through the leading of the Holy Spirit that you would show us, teach us, bless us by thy word, Father. Wash us clean in thy word. Father, I pray that our minds and our hearts would be open this morning to receive the engrafted word of God. Father, I pray that you would fill me with your wisdom, with your discernment. Fill me with the Spirit of God to say only those things that you would have me to say this morning. Father, just bless each and every one of us individually for being here, for loving thy word, Father. Father, now we commit this time into thy hand, and we ask whatever you choose to be done, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we know this coming Tuesday, November 5th, is Election Day, and we're going to be electing state officials, local officials, and officials on the national level. And I spent going over some issues that we should, how we should, you know, of course, as a pastor, as a man of God, I can't tell you individually who you should vote for, but I certainly can take the word of God and show you and help you to make your decision on who you should vote for, determining on where the word of God and God stands on many issues. And we did that in Sunday school, and we also saw how God ordains the government. God is an institution just like the family, just like the church, that God has instituted. Amen. And we looked at the issues. But this morning, what I want to do in this morning's message is look at character. You know, everybody talks about issues today, but no one wants to talk anymore about character. You know, I remember it wasn't too long ago that there was one candidate running for the presidency, Gary Hart. Maybe some of you remembered him. But because of his character, he had to leave the race. Amen. But my, how this country has fallen just those few years, because character is no longer to be discussed. Character is no longer an issue with folks choosing a candidate for an elected officials or office. Amen. And it should be. The Word of God has a lot to say about character, has a lot to say about the character of the leaders. Amen. We see one character this morning in Psalm 101, David, amen. We know that David was the king of Israel, amen. And we'll look at some things later on. But character is no longer an issue, unfortunately, and it should be. I just think about Massachusetts itself. Right now in the U.S. House of Representatives, we know that we have two openly men that are homosexuals that are serving this state, amen, in the U.S. Congress, in the House of Representatives. Unfortunately, one is retiring this year and not running again, amen. But we see that if character was an issue, that these two men would not be in office, amen. That people will often say that your private life and your public life are two different things, but the Bible doesn't say that. Your private life and your public life should be one and the same thing. Scriptures have a great amount, as I said, to say about character. Over in Proverbs, we want to keep our finger in the Psalms 101, but we want to look at Proverbs just for a moment, what it says about character. Proverbs chapter 22. I know at least when I brought up, the way I was brought up, and I'm sure that most of you were brought up the same way, was that you didn't want to do anything to ruin the good, as we said, the good name of the family. And in some ways, that's biblical. In Proverbs chapter 22, it says a good name, in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor, rather than silver and gold. You know, if you think back, and even some of the merchants that you dealt with, and that whatever field it may be in, whatever supplies or services, and you'd hear the name, maybe the Smith family. Now, you knew that name was a good name, that whatever you bought from them would be quality, or whatever service you got from that family, that they would stand behind it, amen. A good name, a good reputation is what we're talking about. Amen. A good name. Something that you could trust in, amen. You know, we think about maybe some of the products that we deal with today. The name is, you know, is always synonymous with quality, amen. But again, today, we've fallen so far away from that, it doesn't mean anything. You know, you can think in your head, General Motors, years ago. Or I can even remember years ago, Chrysler, Dodge products were good. You know, I remember we had a 1965 Dodge Dart. You couldn't kill that thing. You know, and we had a slant six we'd had a slant six engine in it. We gave it, my mother, I remember, we bought it new in 65. My mother ended up giving it to one of her nephews, and the only thing wrong with it is you had to keep throwing a quart of oil in it. But other than that, it lived for a long time. But a good name is what we're talking about. It's no longer something that people are concerned about. Look at in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1 in the next book. It says, as you turn there, it talks again about the good name. The good name. Ecclesiastes 7, 1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment. A good name is better than precious ointment. Amen. So we see that a good name is something that you and I should strive for as Christians, a good name. When someone hears your name, they should be able to attach to it, you know, hey, none of us are sinless, okay? We're human beings, and even though we're saved, we live in the flesh and we're still going to sin. But when someone hears your name, you know, they shouldn't be able to link it up with any major disaster or any, you know, thing that would bring shame upon your family, amen. A good name is something very important. And it's especially important for our rulers, for our leaders, a good name. Let's go back to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, talking about our leaders and a good name and so forth and so on. Proverbs 29 and verse number 2. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. There's a lot of people over here in this country that are mourning this morning. Amen. Amen. After the elections, that's right, coming up on Tuesday, there's still going to be mourning. Okay? Because the righteous are not in authority. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's no perfect candidate. Amen. There's, you know, like I was saying, the perfect candidate would be someone that's a born-again Christian, that's a Bible believer. Amen. And like faith and so forth and so on. Let me tell you, the chances of us finding that are going to be nil. But we got to look at something that at least gets kind of close to it anyways. Amen. And that's what I'm trying to gear at as we talk about this. But yes, we're going to be mourning. Amen. Unless we see some things that are changed. Amen. But the current trend looks like, if you listen to the spin doctors and the sound bites and the polls and everything, it's not painting a very pleasant picture. But people are mourning. Even though, but you know what the thing is? If you listen to the television and you read the newspapers, amen, you're going to hear the opposite. Everybody, everything is great. You know, all we heard is the rhetoric, you're better off 4 years than you were, you know, 4 years ago, and things are going great. See, because they're behind those candidates, amen, because what you and I have to wake up to is ABC, CBS, and NBC are not run by born-again Christians, amen. You know what I mean? They're run by the world, by Satan, and they're going to promote their candidates, amen. So we see Proverbs 29:2, Proverbs 29:8. Proverbs 29:8, scornful men bring a city into a snare, which is a trap, but wise men turn away wrath. That's why we're having all the problems that we're having. That's why people are feeling trapped, you know, and so forth and so on, is because we have scornful men, because we have men that scorn the things of God, amen. They don't want nothing to do with God, amen. You know, they're into building a legacy and a history and so forth and so on. You know, they're in it for themselves. They're not in it for you and I, amen. And then finally, within that Proverbs 29:12, it says, if a ruler hearken to lies, all the servants are wicked. Okay? So you're going to have who's ever up there, whoever it is, whoever leader is, he's listening to lies, amen. You know, and that's what those advisors are feeding him, a bunch of lies. All his servants, all those work with him are going to be just the same as he is, amen. But we want to say as a bit of introduction, still in the introduction, the coming election on November 5th will determine much for the future of this nation and the lives of his people. It will determine the leadership of our cities and our states and this nation. You know, leaders have potential for great good or for great evil. They provide models for behavior. See, the problem with people in general is, don't get me wrong, the pocketbook is important, but it's not the only thing. Amen. It's not the only thing. You know, we shouldn't just vote on people because of our pocketbooks, amen. We should see how they stand on the things of God. Leaders, they are advocates of ideas and philosophies and policies that they hope to impose upon the people. They are given the power to make decisions, and their decisions may impact every aspect of your life and my life. So, be that as it may, you and I should take it very seriously about voting, and we should vote. But it should be made after much prayer and information gathering as best as you can and careful thought. It's not something, you know, we hear one thing and we hear pocketbooks, so we go and we rush in and we vote for that candidate, amen, that's going to put more money in our pocket, which is okay, but it's not the only thing. God sees... God's not only interested in money, he's interested in other things. And we talked about a lot of issues in our Sunday school hour. But getting back to Psalm 101. Psalm 101 is a psalm of David. This was David's prayer upon becoming the king of Israel. This was David's prayer. You know, it's perhaps, Psalm 101 is perhaps one of the most concise statements, a statement made of effective and beneficial leadership. What it does, what's set out in Psalm 101, gives us a description of the model leader for God and the people. And it's my prayer that each and every one of us, after we go through this morning, Psalm 101, that we'll use Psalm 101 as a measurement for choosing our leaders this coming Tuesday, November 5th. Amen. And as we go through this, and I'll conclude later on, we're not going to find a leader that's going to match each and every one of these. What we're going to see laid out in part number one of this message is, in verses 1 through 4, the personal character. The personal character of a model leader in verses 1 through 4. And I believe we'll look at six items under that quickly. Six items. So we want to look at the personal character of a model leader in verses 1 through 4. First of all, he should have a balanced attitude. A balanced attitude. Let's look at verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. In decision making, a leader must have a balance, mercy, and judgment. Jesus said about judgment in the Gospel of John in chapter 5 and verse 30. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. So in his judgment, in his decision making, amen, he has to show mercy. He's not to, you know, I'm going to make this decision to get back at my political enemies or whoever it may be. No, he's not to seek his own interest or his own good, but the will, the good of the people, the will of God, whatever that may be. That's how he is to execute judgment along with mercy, amen. In James chapter 2, verse 13, it says, For he shall have judgment, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. You know, you and I, even as human beings, are very quick to come down hard on people, okay? And that's a lot of times our political leaders have come down very hard on their so-called political enemies. But they have to look, and they have to execute that judgment with mercy. And you and I, as also our leaders, have to remember the mercy that God gave each and every one of us. When each and every one of us deserved to die and go to hell, he showed mercy in giving his only begotten Son to die and shed his blood for us. So he's got to have a balanced attitude in making decisions, you know, judgments. Mercy, it has to have mercy along with that judgment. You know, if you and I want to have mercy in our lives when we're dealing with other people, we need to give them mercy. We need to be, you know, I can say this from experience. I've learned the hard way. You know, we don't get me wrong. We're not to be lenient, but we're also to realize when something happens, to look at the thing and not, you know, you and I have a tendency is to blow it out of proportion and want to come down hard, you know, with, like a hammer on someone. We have to, if we want mercy, we have to give mercy, because there'll be judgment upon us, amen, because of how we are, how we go wrong sometimes. Same with our leaders. We want to have a balanced attitude with mercy and judgment. Also, they should have blameless conduct. Blameless conduct. Verse number 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Behave, he says. I will behave myself wisely and in a perfect way. In other words, how one behaves is how one conducts themselves or herself. And what this speaks of in verse 2 is the personal conduct of the leader. He uses the words wisely, that's how he's going to behave, wisely and perfect. And what this suggests is carefulness, thoughtfulness, integrity, wholesomeness. You know, he's going to check the thing out. He's going to be thoughtful about things. He's going to be careful in whatever he does and whoever he has around him. Amen. We see some characteristics of the wise in the Bible. We can go to Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot to say about the wise. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 33. It says, "Hear instructions. Hear instructions and be wise and refuse it not." A wise person, and this goes for you and I and for our leaders, a wise person is one who listens. That's what you and I fail. You and I get an A when it comes to blabbing our mouth off and talking. But we get an F, most of us, when it comes to listening. Amen. That includes myself. I'm not picking on anyone this morning. That's all of us. Proverbs 12:5. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto counsel is wise. See, listening. That's a characteristic of our leaders and of ourselves. Not to act on an impulse, but to act wisely. And to act wisely is to check the thing out, to listen to others. Maybe others have gone through that same experience. You know, you see sometimes leaders calling other leaders from gone by eras to the White House and asking their opinion on something. Instead of being the fool, see, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. That's a fool. I'm going to go ahead and do this, you know. I'm not going to check it out. I thought it up, so it's got to be great, you know. So we see that one of the characteristics of a wise person and is good for our leaders to act wisely is to listen, as a person who listens. Then we see in Proverbs 15, chapter 2, it says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fool poureth out foolishness." So it's not only important to listen, okay, but it's also to take that knowledge that you've gained and use it wisely. You know, not only just listening and gaining knowledge, but to take it and use it in such a way to use it wisely. And to give it to others. Look at what it says in that same chapter of Proverbs, chapter 15, 7, verse 7. "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge." The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. You're to pass it on. You're to give knowledge to others around you. You know, you're not only to listen and to use it wisely, but to also to give it to others so they can use it. Amen. Look at Proverbs 17:10 as we're looking at some of the characteristics of someone that's wise, that our leader should be wise, as David prayed, that he'd behave himself as wise and in a perfect way. Proverbs 17:10. "A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool." So what this is saying is our leaders and you and I, if we want to be a characteristic of someone as wise, is to be able to take a reproof or criticism. Okay? You know, a president shouldn't fill his cabinet with a bunch of yes men. You know, "Well, how did you... Oh, yeah. I mean, why didn't I think of that? Boy, how do you do it, Mr. President?" You know? He needs to fill his people with it. They're going to give him their criticism. You know, if you're going off base, amen, then tell me. You know, am I out in left field with this or whatever? Looking in Proverbs 24:5. Has a lot to say about the wise. 24:5. "A wise man is strong." A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. He's confident. He has a strong character. Amen. He's not wishy-washy. He's not double-minded. You know, you can count on him. You can count on his word. What he says goes, amen. He's got a strong character. Look at also Proverbs 29:8. 29:8. Again, we read that earlier. A scornful man bring a city into snare, but wise men turn away wrath. You should be a peacemaker. Amen. You should be trying to, you know, not stir things up, amen, but to bring people together, amen, to talk about things. You shouldn't be a hothead, in other words. And then we see in Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. A wise man, our leader, should not be quick to speak, amen. Listen, think about it, then speak, after you've thought the thing out, amen. You know, a leader shouldn't act on impulse. We see also, David said, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Now, perfect doesn't mean sinless. But it means a leader that conducts himself in such a way that no one can link him to any scandalous behavior. He has a good testimony. Amen. You know, we think if we have a sitting president right now, I mean, that's all day in and day out. It's just something ready to break, but it doesn't break, amen. Good testimony. A man who is always examining himself before God, actively seeking to be right with God. That's what that perfect means. So we see then that our leader should have a balanced attitude, a blameless conduct, and number three, spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger. Look it with me in verse 2 of Psalm 101. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? The model leader, in other words, has a desire for communion and fellowship with God. He says, come unto me. That's an invitation. When someone says, come unto me, the moral leader not only has a desire to have fellowship with God, but actually invites God to be a part of his life. He meets with God through communion with God and God's word and through prayer and praise. And this leader, this model leader, recognizes that he needs God to help him to do his job. Amen. Spiritual hunger. He needs God. He needs to meet with God. And any decision-making that needs to be made, anything that he does, God is in the formula. He's met with God. I'd like to have a president that would fast on an issue. Not only pray, but fast. It'd be wonderful if we had a president to declare a day of fasting in this country. I think people would go bananas. You know, they seek to get right with God and to fast and to pray, amen. Spiritual hunger, another characteristic, a personal character of a model leader is pure motives. In verse 2 he says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart, is a statement concerning the leader's private walk. See, I said earlier, both the public and the private walk should be one and the same. Should be one and the same. Often leaders may have a public walk which is just a facade. Come to find out his private walk, his family life is a mess. It's scandalous. He cheats on his wife. He never spends time with any of the children. He neglects the family. How can you expect a leader like that, amen, to lead a country that's built on families? His private life before those in his house where no one can see him on the outside, amen. His private life in his house. In other words, he's wherever he is, where no one can see him on the outside, amen, will reveal his inner man and his motives. How he is privately is how he really is. A model leader's desire is to be perfect in a sense of innocent, wholesome, adhering to God's moral code. Thus, he will not be self-centered. That's all you hear if you listen to the rhetoric of these candidates is nothing but a bunch of self-centered men and women. Thus, he will not be self-centered, but centered in what is best for those he serves according to God. So his motives, pure motives. Number five, discernment on influences. Discernment on influences. Look at what he says in verse 3, David. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, and it shall not cleave to me. Verse 3 speaks of the things that might influence a leader. The wicked things. The work of them that turn aside are influences that he must guard against. Here David is speaking about what is worthless, what is destructive, what is crooked, and what is harmful. Although he cannot prevent encountering such things or people, he resolves not to entertain them or interact with them, but to divorce himself from them. Amen. He said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. To do this requires discernment and personal discipline or personal separation. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, that do wrong, that do evil, in other words. Our leader needs to resolve himself that he's not going to have anything to do with any of this stuff. Discernment of influences. Then we see, finally, as we talk about personal character, the sixth thing is companions of character, who he surrounds himself with. Verse number 4, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. He's speaking of counselors and officers and servants and others, advisors that surround him, the government leader, his entourage, per se. David speaks of those who would not be his companions, those who he would reject and not be a part of his administration. We see the current administration in Washington has had nothing but scandals and people having to resign. Amen. A person with a froward or twisted, perverse, and disobedient heart, and the wicked or evil person he has had nothing to do with. David realized we become like those we associate with. Over there in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. David knew. If he surrounded himself with companions as a fool, that he would eventually be destroyed. That's what eventually is going to happen, amen. It's only going to go on for so long, amen. But these folks that we have that have their inner circle, their entourage or their counselors, amen. They're fall guys that are fools, companion fools. That eventually is all going to fall, amen? It's just a matter of time. Therefore, the choice of friends and subordinates is crucial to the leader's personal character and leadership. You know, we not only need to look at the leader, but who is he? Who does he surround himself? What company does he keep? Amen. And I bet you, amen, if the head apple is rotten, all the rest of them are rotten too, amen. We need to look at that too. We need to look at who, you know, in the presidency, who is he going to have in his cabinet, amen. Or who are his chief advisors, amen. You know, they have a lot of power, amen. Chief advisors, counsel to the White House or whatever you want to call them. So we've looked at six areas of vital to the character of any person or any leader. areas that should be of concern when choosing an electric official. We saw a balanced attitude, blameless conduct, spiritual hunger, pure motives, discernment of influence, and companion of characters. Now, the second part, and I'll go quickly, is we saw the personal character of a moral leader, but also we want to look at the public conduct of a moral leader. And we're going to break it down into two areas. And this is covered in verses 5 through 8. The public conduct of a moral leader, verses 5 through 8. The first thing is we want to look at is those he will punish. Those he will punish. David pledges himself to the will of God and the betterment of his people, and he is determined to punish four types of conduct. Let's look at in verse 5. He says, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor. In other words, we're talking about a person who brings up false charges or misrepresentation that defame or damage another's reputation. Amen. The promise is also an affirmation to defend and deal in truth with others. So that's a behavior. Someone that comes up with false charges that misrepresents something or defames or damages another reputation. That sounds like most of our leaders, amen. We're in sad shape in this country. Look at the second thing. Him that hath a high look. He says, who privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that had a high look in a proud heart, will not I suffer. He promises to punish elitism and the exaltation of our individual or group above another. Amen. So I guess that we get rid of all lobbyists. Amen. That group there. They get rid of all this PAC money, all these little groups that get together so their little interests can be promoted. Amen. An idea of a high look and a proud heart is superiority and arrogance, and the opposite of the attitude of the worshiper. That's probably a characteristic of most of our leaders today. A high look and a proud heart. They think they're something, amen. I mean, I look at, and this is just my opinion, and I probably go along with a lot of things he says, Gingrich there, the House Speaker, man, but he could have done it a better way, man. He had a high look and a proud heart, amen. And it may just come back to bite him, amen. We'll have to see in a little bit. This vow is a commitment to impartiality and equality in dealing with people he governs. Amen. This comes from a leader who has a spirit of humility and reverence. To deal with equally. To play on the same playing field, by the same rules. Amen. Verse 7. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He promises to punish the ones that worketh deceit, he says, and he that telleth lies. This is a pledge, in other words, of the leader to honor the truth. Such a practice would protect people in the matters of judgment and set an example that encourages the keeping of contracts and the fulfilling of promises. I remember it wasn't too long ago, if I had someone's word on it, something, it was just like a contract. I didn't have to write up a sheet of paper. The reason we've gotten in, you know, the good thing, and I work in government contracting, and every little time you want to do something, you got to write up a document that's that thick, because man's heart is deep, deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. That's why. This world has gotten wickeder, amen? And now we've got to put everything in writing. Even when it's in writing, it doesn't matter anymore. But I remember not too long ago, you know, someone would come up, I'm going to do such and such, you get my word on it, that would be it, the job would be done, and you pay the person the money, it'd be over with. You didn't need to get in any of this. Amen. Punish ones that worketh deceit and lies. It would protect the people from those who say anything to gain an advantage. Hey, this is a characteristic of a politician. He'll say anything that the people want to say just to get elected. That's all. That's a problem. We don't have any more statesmen anymore. A politician is a person that'll say anything to gain an advantage, to say something to get in. Doesn't matter what it is. Verse 8. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. He promises to punish the criminals, those who trouble the people, wicked. The model leader promises to be tough on crime and the troublemaker. Such people he promises to cut off or destroy or put away from society. Unfortunately, the way things are going in this country, the criminal is protected, and it's a victim. The victim, amen, that's being treated like the criminal. Not the criminal, the victim. The victim. We need those that are going to be tough on crime. Put out the message, you know. We need to bring back that capital punishment on first degree murder, amen. We saw those he would punish. Let's look at those he would promote. Model leaders does more than just execute judgment. He sets an example by the people he promotes. There are two kinds of people who receive the praise and exaltation of a model leader. Let's read verse 6. It says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He promotes the faithful of the land, meaning faithful. In the text, these people, in other words, are supporters and upholders, are pillars to which that is which is praiseworthy and worthwhile and honest and beneficial and good. They honor God, his word, and his ways by their conduct and attitude and influence. These are the kind of people that the leader wants, as he says, to dwell with me. Faithful. Faithful servants. He promotes, number two, those that walketh in a perfect way. He is a person, the ones he promotes, with goals and values and ideas and conduct, just like the model leader himself. Perfect in the sense, again, like the leader, continually trying to seek and be right with God. He is also sound, wholesome, and complete in integrity, and he can be counted on to say what he means and mean what he says and do what he promises. That is the kind of model leader is and the kind of persons that he says will serve with him. The faithful that you can trust. That's the problem. We can't trust our leaders today. Who is the model leader? We looked at some really extraordinary qualities this morning. And it's obvious David was speaking here, and it's obvious if you've read anything about David that he didn't fulfill all the lofty principles that he prayed for, the ideas that were presented in the Psalm 101 of David. However, they were the desires of his heart. David desired to do that. That was the difference. They weren't just word on paper. He actually desired in his heart to do it. In fact, David is described as a man after God's own heart. That would be great to elect men that were men after God's own heart. But the thing is, the only one who can completely fill each and every one of these things that we talked about this morning is the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen and soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then who should we vote for? Vote for those who most closely identify the principles of the model leader that we talked about in Psalm 101 this morning. You may say there really isn't much of a difference. True. But if you go through and you read between the lines, there still is a little bit of difference between people and candidates. Amen. I mean, like I said from the start, it'd be great if they were all Christians, they were serving God, they were in churches like of like faith, and that would be great. But it's not going to be that way. What you have to do is go, look at the man, look at the character. We talked about the moral issues this morning based upon the Bible and what candidate we want who supports those issues. But look at the character. Character, regardless of what society says, look at the man's character. Look at the woman's character before you vote. See if you can find some things here. In other words, we shouldn't be voting because a person's Democrat or Republican or Independent or Reform Party or whatever it is. in whatever we do. Sunday nights we're talking about personal and family finances, and looking at what does the Bible say about it. In every area of our lives, whatever we do, is it voting? What does God say? He said it out in His Word. We just have to spend some time and looking in it and seeing what it says and so forth and so on. But I pray this will help you when you go to that November 5th on Tuesday, that this will help you make a decision. Look at the character of the person that you're voting for as best as you can, as best as the information is available. Look at the character. Don't always look at dollar signs. Amen. You know, because that can be misleading. Look at the character of the person. Very important. Look at the issues. We talked about 7 issues this morning. I covered. We should vote a candidate, okay, that's opposed to homosexuality and giving them equal rights. Amen. We should support candidates that supports the traditional family, husband and wife and children. Amen. Because that's what God says. We should vote for candidates that are against abortion, not because of God. God hates abortion. It's murder. Amen. The life of the flesh is in the blood. A babe in the fetus is a word that the world came up with. The Bible never calls it a fetus. It's a life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen. We should vote for people that are tough on crime, like I said. The Bible started out, God talked to Moses. You know, someone's blood is shed, then the one who shed it should be taken. Premeditated murder I'm talking about. I'm not talking about accidental, okay? I'm talking about premeditated murder. We talked about the drug problem, amen, and the alcohol problem and all of that. We should vote for candidates that are strong against that. And and even their own lifestyle, amen. Because God's against it. God's against drinking and even legal and illegal drugs. He's against, amen. Both. We're not to be under the influence of any drug, be it alcohol or anything. We talked about gambling. Well, it doesn't say anything specifically in gambling, but we saw some verses on how you and I, you know, God doesn't like a false balance. All those casinos, everything's rigged in favor of the casino for them to make money. Amen. We looked at some other verses. Amen. We saw how God wants you and I to earn our money by the sweat of our brows. Amen. We also looked at a foreign policy a little bit at Israel. We saw that God promised Abraham that land, a Palestine, the promised land. That's the Jews. And what we need to do is promote candidates that are for Israel, that support Israel. God promised Moses, I will bless those that bless you and curse you that curse you. If we put a guy in there that's going to push this peace thing and giving Israel to give up more land and more land, it's no good. We need to support the nation of Israel according to the Word of God. So when we get in there, it shouldn't be what to use. Your vote counts. Go in there. As a Christian, God's ordained government. He's given us the leaders that we deserve. He's established government. The leaders aren't doing God's will because the people aren't. They don't care about God. Amen. See, that's the problem. If they did, we may have more leaders in there that were more godly. Amen. But I pray you take the information today from the Word of God into that voting booth on November 5th. With much prayer and supplication, and vote according to not your will or your pocketbook, but according to how God would guide and direct you. Let's stand for a word of prayer as we close here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you in your word how you've made it so crystal clear how what a model leader should be. And even though there's only one model leader for us to follow, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we just pray that we would take the information that we learned both in the Sunday school hour and in this service and take it with us as we go and we execute a privilege, not a right, but a privilege that we have to vote for candidates. Help us to vote those that closely fit this model leader and that are closely on the issues according to your word. Father, now, we just give this time of invitation and we ask you to have your will in your way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.